The opinions expressed by the interviewees on the Upfront and the Prophetic radio show and those providing comments are theirs alone and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Upfront and the Prophetic radio show or any employee thereof. Upfront and the Prophetic radio show is not responsible for the accuracy of any of the information supplied by the interviewee.
Welcome to Upfront in the Prophetic, a production of People of Prophetic Power Ministries. Your hosts, Alan and Francine Fosdick, invite you to tune in to Upfront in the Prophetic every week, where it's natural living in the supernatural, and where the true prophetic is off the chain and right on. Alan and Francine are anointed prophetic ministers of the gospel who are raising up a supernatural generation for an end-time army of believers to establish and advance the kingdom of God with love, signs and wonders, miracles and prophetic abilities, which are needed for the last day harvest. Be prepared to call in with your questions and be ready to chat with their special guests from around the world. Their hunger and thirst for Jesus is radically infectious. Please join us now live with Alan and Francine on this edition of Upfront in the Prophetic. Catch the fire.
Incredible. Incredible.
Welcome to Upfront in the Prophetic, a production of People of Prophetic Power Ministries. That's POPPM.org. We like to say, pop them with the Holy Ghost. Come on now. We're your hosts, Alan and Francine Fosdick, and we're coming to you live as we do every week at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Man, do we got a show for you tonight? Woo! I am so excited. Oh, so excited. I know there's a song about that, too. I'm so excited. Woo! Well, I really am, because we're going to talk a lot about the Holy Ghost. Come on now, put your seatbelts on and get ready. We have an awesome guest with us tonight, Michelle Hart, and we're going to chat a little bit about her book, Loose My Bride and Let Her Go. Come on now, can I hear an amen about that? Well, a little bit about Michelle. In 1995, Michelle and her husband Robert left South Africa, where they had been serving as missionaries, and they moved to the United States with their son, Dwayne. I can't tell you, gosh, how many people we know that have moved from South Africa to come here to the U.S. There must be something going on or needs to be going on. Well, in their obedience to the Holy Spirit's leading, they basically came because of that obedience to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, go, and they went. Praise God. You know, and they're called to bring true freedom to the body of Christ. They have traveled and ministered across America as well as even co-founded and pastored a local church. A little bit about their ministry, too. I want you to write it down. It's called His Freedom Ministries. Oh, I love it. And you can tap into the website by hisfreedomministries.com. A little bit about their ministry. It's an apostolic ministry to the church to establish the church on the true foundation of Jesus Christ and to equip the saints in the fullness of their inheritance in Christ. I'm telling you, we have not been walking in the fullness. We've only got, so many of us, just a little part of it. But, man, he wants us to grab a hold of the fullness, and we're going to talk about that tonight. Well, everyone, let us just celebrate as we introduce tonight Michelle Hart. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Fran. I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to connect with you all, and thank you so much, Fran and Alan, for making room for me to share with you tonight. I really appreciate it very much.
Well, it's been overdue, Michelle, and we were just so thrilled that you had the time. I know that you've been busy and so forth, and you know, God is so awesome because he has the right timing, and the timing is so now. You know, Michelle, before we get into your ministry and a little bit about the book, because we're going to urge people to go to your website, hisfreedomministries.com, to purchase the book. And I just urge everyone that can hear our voice tonight to go to the website and purchase one too, for yourself, your families, friends, and so forth. It's just so rich with information. You know, Michelle, you came from South Africa to come to the U.S., but when did you come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as being your Savior and then getting filled with the Holy Ghost? Tell us, the audience, a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I grew up in a family that wasn't really Christian in any sort of even sort of weekly basis, you know, but they were Christian in name type of thing. And so when I was 15, I went to a confirmation class, which I absolutely hated because I had no relationship with God, but my mom wanted me to go. You know, it was one of those things. And in any case, while I was at this confirmation camp, a friend of mine I hadn't met for many years was there, and I talked to him a little bit, and I said, so what are you going to do when you leave school? And he said, I'm going to be a minister. And I thought, wow, this guy must really believe this stuff, you know, what's something about God. So I said to him, why? And he said, well, God spoke to me, and that sparked such a question in my heart. And I said, so what does it sound like, you know, to hear God speak to you? And he said, I can't really explain that. And I felt so disappointed. And I thought, you know what? God speaks to him, but God doesn't speak to me. And it sowed a seed in my heart. And even though I went through the confirmation and I didn't go to church after that because I really didn't even know anything, that seed was planted. And a couple of years went by, and every now and then I would think, oh, gosh, you know, where am I going in life? What's it all about? And I'd get a little scared because I didn't have any answers. And then just as I turned 20, I was studying pharmacy. I was in my fourth year of pharmacy. That same church where I'd gotten confirmed in had a real breakthrough, and I heard that the people there were speaking in tongues. And I didn't know what tongues was, but I thought, this sounds interesting. I'm going to go and find out about it. You know, so I started going, and what had happened was the pastor, who was Presbyterian, had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. He got filled with the Holy Spirit, and the youth got filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were all on fire. And I walked into the church, and then I was confronted at that stage with the reality, you know, of a real living God. And so one day we were singing and just in the church of singing, and all of a sudden I started tearing up, and I didn't know why. I felt like these people have got something and I don't, and I'm on the outside looking in. I was just being convicted by the Holy Spirit. And so I began to ask lots and lots of questions. And then finally I came to the realization that it was actually the first time I ever heard the gospel, you know, really the fact that Jesus loved me. And I came to the conclusion I wanted to give my life to him. And so I knelt down beside my bed one night, and I just invited Jesus to be the Lord of my life. And then I just so wanted to experience, you know, speaking in tongues. And one day I was at a camp, and I heard this girl out in the field singing in tongues, and I thought it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever heard in my life. And so I got hold of a couple of books. I hadn't really, you know, read the Bible by this stage, but I got hold of a couple of books. The first book I ever read was Like a Mighty Wind by Mel Torrie, and it was all about the revival in Indonesia in the 1960s. And, I mean, I just got so excited about this. And then I read the book by Dr. Robert Frost, who's an American, and that book was Christian about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, I know, it was called A Glow with the Spirit. And it answered some questions for me. And so I got to the end of almost the last chapter of the book, and I was like, okay, now I'm gonna get filled with the Holy Spirit. And I got down beside my bed. It was a Friday night, and I just asked the Lord to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And I was expecting fireworks or something to happen, and nothing happened. And so I was a little despondent. I thought, well, maybe I just have to ask people to lay hands on me or something. And I went to bed, and I woke up the next morning, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to read the last chapter of that book. And in the last chapter, it explained that just as you receive Jesus by faith, you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith. So I got down beside my bed and I said, okay, well, Lord, thank you for baptizing me last night. I'm sorry I didn't believe you, but I know now that I'm to receive it by faith. So you did baptize me last night, and I'm just going to start thanking you. And I started to sing, and all of a sudden my tongue was wanting to sing some other things, and I just let go, and I just started to sing in tongues. I sang new songs in tongues for about 3 hours flat, and I just felt the love of the Father come and just embrace me. It was the most wonderful experience, and that was really the beginning of, you know, my encounters with the Holy Spirit.
So now, when did you get involved in ministry? Was it soon after, or did it take some time?
You know, actually, it's quite interesting because it took place, it started, this is really funny, actually. Before I asked Jesus to come into my life and be the Lord of my life, or I had revelation of this, I had started going to the church, and not long, but some of the people that the youth that I saw and knew there, I had known them from before in school, and they were part of what was the choir in those days, and they still had an organ, and so one of them I knew who was at high school with me, and so I said to her one day, you know, have you ever thought of like having a band and using guitars and so on and just like writing some songs of praise to God? I didn't know the Lord. I hadn't accepted him at this time, but I just said, you know, for example, there's this song on the hit parade. It's number one, and you can just change the words and say, you know, and I explained to her how you could change the words and make it about, you know, praising Jesus. And she knew I didn't know the Lord, but she said, well, you know, I'm going to pray about this. And she came back to me afterwards, and she said, we're going to do it, and I want you to write that song out for me. So before I even accepted Christ, I wrote this song out. And anyway, the long and the short of it was we actually formed a band called The Solid Foundation, and we just used to write our own songs, and just people would invite us, churches, which were denominational churches would invite us, and we would go and take the whole service, and someone would preach, and we would just worship and sing our new songs and teach the congregations the songs of praise and worship. And yeah, so it actually started then, and I also got involved with the youth and with the Sunday school.
Wow. Such yeah. Growth, you know, for that hunger. And then you guys moved here. You met your husband, and you were called to the United States. And what I find so, gosh, it's just amazing to me, if that's even the right word. But my husband Alan and I know several individuals, ministries that came from South Africa because they were called here to the United States. And you guys, and every single one of you came on faith. I mean, one may have had, you know, $20, if even that, in their pocket, you know, and they were trusting. I mean, was that like the same case for you guys too?
Yes, you know, Fran, I just want to say something. I want to say to my brothers and my sisters listening, especially those in America, what a blessing you have been to us in South Africa. Now, I came to the Lord in 1974, but I can honestly say that at the time that my church sent me out into the mission, because after I really felt from the moment that I gave my life to the Lord that I wanted to go full-time and in some capacity, and I didn't know how, but whatever it was, I wanted them to be open to the Holy Spirit because I just love the Holy Spirit. And so I was thinking about and wanting to go in that direction, but I was involved in the church. And an American came to our church. But I just want to backtrack. Let me just say this. My church went on a trip to the Holy Land and some other countries. And while we were in the Greek Isles, we were actually on a little boat, you know, sailing around from one island to the other, sunbathing. I was talking to a friend, and I said, you know, I want to go to America one day, not just to go and see them. I want to go, and I want to minister in America one day. Well, anyway, fast forward to back in the church and being involved in the ministry, wanting to go full-time but not knowing just how to go about it, and feeling I still was committed to this local church. Well, this American came. His name is Ray Brooks, and he ministered in our church, and he prophesied over three people, and I was one of them. And he said to me, you know that there's a call on your life. Don't be afraid. You're going to be in many new fellowships. And he went on and said a few other things. And I immediately realized, well, God is releasing me now from this local church, and I can go forward. And so he was an American. Fast forward, and the Lord led me to this mission where I met my American husband. And yes, and then ever since that, you know, there's been different encounters that I've had where God has ministered to me through Americans while we were still in South Africa. And so I just want to say how grateful I am. After 10 years in the mission, the Lord led us out of the mission, and I was really dry, and I was wounded. And, anyway, we were just desperate, you know, and for the presence of the Spirit of God. And another minister from America, it was actually Christian Harfouche and his wife Robin, we're in South Africa. I've never met them before, but someone invited me to their meetings, and I'll tell you, the power of the Holy Spirit just flooded my life. And also a couple of years after that, when God called us to America, it was also through a couple, Ron and Johanna Kuzma from America, who gave us a very profound prophetic word about a relocation to another nation. And so I just want to say to all my American brothers and my sisters, I'm here because God put that desire in me years ago to be a blessing to you, that I'm grateful for the blessing that you have been in my life, and not only to mine, but to so many in the nations of the earth. America, the American church, you're about to experience something so much greater, but I want you to know that we're grateful for what you have given over the years into other nations.
And we're grateful for you guys, too. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it.
We definitely have a spiritual connection with South Africa. We've met so many people. It's divine. It's so many people that God has connected us with. And I didn't know this, that there's a lot of South Africans in America. I didn't realize how many, and a lot of them are in the mission or ministry field. So it's been a real blessing, and we know we have a destiny to definitely, we've already been invited to go over there, South Africa, and we look forward to it. We haven't gotten there yet, but we're excited to go.
Awesome.
Amen. Amen. You know, Michelle, you've written an awesome book that, I state that everyone needs to get it. You talk a lot about the bride and the Holy Spirit, our friend and comforter. You know, the Word of God talks over and over about it in John, but the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring remembrance what we've read in the Word. And it's just so powerful, and it's just saturated in this book. But what inspired you to write Loose My Bride and Let Her Go?
You know, I think, Fran, it started off when I was still in South Africa, and I got mightily touched by the Spirit of God. And just wave after wave after wave of His presence just flooding my being. And I knew that there was an angel then. Every time He put His hand on my belly, I mean, I shook like a bull and like a leaf. And He said to me, you know, I've called you to the nations. And so I knew that my love for God came about because I experienced the encounter with the living reality of God. It wasn't a religious exercise, you know. And so when we came to the States, the Holy Spirit had just so blessed me with many different encounters. I didn't know anything about the Shakers or the Quakers or the Rollers, Holy Rollers, or anything like that. But He allowed me, or He put me in these encounters with Him, and I just loved being intoxicated in His presence. So, you know, this was all that I wanted to live in and to share. And when I was led to the nation of America, it was to really, for the real purpose of seeing the presence of the Holy Spirit, the church feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the church growing in relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so when we started this church, this local church, our goal was to have a church that's living in revival. And so our aim was to not try to have a format, but to really come to the person of the Holy Spirit and say, what do you want to do today? And so many times we didn't even take up an offering. We didn't have follow a format of, you know, praise, then worship, then an offering, then, you know, we desired to just let the Holy Spirit have his way. So sometimes it would just go straight into a teaching, or sometimes it would just be people being ministered to and being healed and from their physical needs in their bodies. And it was just, this was the goal, was to really grow in the realms and in the love of the Holy Spirit. And so my love for the Holy Spirit grew even more, and I became even more aware of being intimate with him personally. You know, it's one thing to experience even the power of the Holy Spirit and know that, and even know the gifts of the Holy Spirit and experience and flow with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but it's another thing to also know a personal intimacy. And in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, when Jesus talked about, I'm leaving, guys, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He says, I want you to come into close personal fellowship with him. And this is the thing that really grew in me in that time when we had the church, was this close personal intimacy. I began to talk to the Holy Spirit. Somehow it got in my mind, and I don't know if this is the same that others can identify with, where, you know, you just don't talk to the Holy Spirit because he doesn't want to be noticed, you know, because he just wants to exalt Jesus, and you have your fellowship with Jesus and the Father, but, you know, you don't talk to the Holy Spirit. And this changed radically for me. And I began to realize that you absolutely do talk to the Holy Spirit, because he's God, and he has a tremendous agenda right now. And just as Jesus came as the Godhead to fulfill his agenda, which was to reveal the Father and to destroy the works of the enemy and to destroy the carnal nature and to bring us into the eternal life with him, in the same way the Holy Spirit has come with an agenda. And honestly, this is what sort of motivated me to get into writing my book. It's all about the deep desire to help the church realize that the Holy Spirit, it has to be front and central now in our hearts and in our minds, because he is the one of the Godhead who is to take us into this intimacy with Jesus and into this intimacy with the Father. He knows the way. He knows how to take us from glory to glory. He knows how to bring every person into the kingdom. He is the one who has been sent. And he knows how to transform a city. surely we need this manifestation so much in these days of the Holy Spirit's lordship in the church. So this is what inspired
me really
to write the book.
Wow. You know, and you hit on so many important factors here. We so need to develop an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we have so many different listeners, broad of listeners, from all around the world, Michelle. And would you share, how would one who's never even heard about the bride, heard about the Holy Spirit, but they're hearing this conversation and they're like, gosh, there is something more. I want to have this. How would one go about having that intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit?
You know, everything in the kingdom is by faith. You know, you can't get away from it. And when Jesus says, the Father and I are going to send you this gift of the Holy Spirit, and in fact, we know that Jesus did all the signs and wonders he did by listening to and following and saying what the Holy Spirit showed and told him. then Jesus sending the Holy Spirit to us to lead and guide us. Jesus said he's going to take what is mine and he's going to reveal it to you. And he's going to take you from glory to glory. He will show you things to come. He who starts the good work in you will bring it to completion. And so he so wants us to come into this relationship. We must do this by faith. We just receive that. We just receive what Jesus said and take the Holy Spirit, who's actually the author of the Word as well, and we just receive him in that. We just say, all right, Holy Spirit, I want to have this intimate relationship with you that Jesus said I must, and that Jesus sent you to be my teacher, my Lord right now, to open up everything to me and show me what the kingdom of heaven's about and who I really am in God and what Jesus has really done for me and bring me into this place of intimacy with God. And take me from glory to glory. And when you do that, you make open your heart to exalt the Holy Spirit in his right place. Then you begin to talk to him honestly from your heart, just like you would in a normal relationship that you wanted to start. He doesn't need any, you know, fanfare or any special way. You just or pray. He just needs a real heart that's open to him and that honors him. You know, I think courting his presence, it's honoring him. It's like you would do if you were in the time of Jesus and if you were there, you would want to listen to everything Jesus said and be with him in everything he did, and you would remember all the things that he did. And you would love and honor Jesus because you could see that he is the one that God had sent at that moment in time. In the same way, the Holy Spirit has been sent to us to be loved and honored. Now, this is the Holy Spirit's time for us, and we get to reverence him and to listen to and to follow and to yield to and to and just surrender. I found out, you know, when my heart is on God, not on man, even if somebody ever laid a hand on me, it wasn't that I was looking for this brother or sister to lay a hand on me. I always had my heart open to the Holy Spirit to touch me and minister to me any way he wants. So when you reverence him in his true function, just as you reverence Jesus in his function and reverence the Father in his function, when you reverence the Holy Spirit in his true function, you'll begin to have a dynamic relationship. He will start speaking to you and you'll know it's him. Or you'll feel, you know, he wants to have encounter with you. See, the whole of the good news of the good news is about the fact that Jesus split the veil that separated us from the intimacy with God. Before Jesus, there was an outer court experience, which a lot of Christians have, in which, you know, it's all prepared beforehand. A lot of it is just a format that we go through or a pattern that we follow on a Sunday and so forth and so on. And it's outer court, if I can put it that way. But Jesus split the veil. In other words, it's not a ritual or a program, but a real up close and personal relationship that Father sent Jesus for us to have. And now we are called to come into this place of intimacy. And so the Holy Spirit is going to take you into that place of intimacy. This is what the whole gospel is about. It's about, I want my people to know me, and I want to have encounter with them. Many times the church has relied on the Bible instead of relying on the author of the Bible, the Holy Spirit. But the Bible is full of people who had encounters with the living God. And we, as those who are now born again, have the very Spirit of God living in us. How much more should we not have and experience the richness of the encounters with God? And it all comes through opening up to the Holy Spirit. See, it's the Holy Spirit who brings us into the kingdom. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the one who will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Yeah.
He will convict the world about Jesus and about who he is and so on. And so he brings us into the kingdom, and then he also raises us up in spiritual growth in the kingdom.
Wow, this is rich. I absolutely love this. You know, you said something really key, too, is that I really believe that the Western world, the U.S., you know, we're so stuck on, like, formulas, you know, and, okay, if I do A, B, and C, then I'll be able to enter in. I'll be able to have that relationship. And what's so key is just talk to him. Just share with him your heart. Listen to him. And that just goes into a depth. And I just love what you're saying here about the Holy Spirit and being intimate with him. And, you know, some of the people, too, just hearing this right now, they're being drawn in. The Holy Spirit is wooing them to come in, to come closer. And could you share a little bit about the character of the Holy Spirit?
Oh, yeah. He makes me so happy. The Holy Spirit is the happiest. I mean, God is so happy. I mean, the Psalm 16:11 says, "In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore." The Holy Spirit is so welcoming. He so invites us. He is so gentle. He is so kind. He is so humble. I stand amazed at the humility of the Holy Spirit, at the humility of God, you know, because, and I hide in that, actually. I love to hide. It's a good place to be, to stay in humility, you know, because that's where he is. You know, it will keep you from any, you know, any pride thoughts. But anyway, so the nature of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, and is so wonderful. His character, and he loves to pour his presence, his joy into us. He loves to strengthen us with his joy. He's the Spirit of might, which is the Spirit of strength. And that strength is the joy of the Lord, because you get to laugh at your enemies. You get to be intoxicated. The Bible says don't be intoxicated with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, tell you something about the nature of the Holy Spirit. And he's sneaky because he wants to bring a lot of change. And so he wants to make us very, very drunk, because when we're drunk, it's like, okay, Holy Spirit, you can change anything.
Whatever you say, whatever you want to do.
You receive that change. You're just like, oh, yeah, Holy Spirit, that's a good idea. And things that you would normally, you know, have a little fight about, perhaps because of your theology, you're able to just receive it. In fact, let me say that this is the way that the Holy Spirit teaches us. If you want to know about how God teaches us, because the Holy Spirit is our teacher, this is how he teaches. He gets us drunk. Very happy, in other words. and then he opens up by either showing us a vision or by turning the light on so we suddenly get it. He opens up revelation to us. That's how he teaches us. It's not according to, you know, meditating on the Bible or trying to analyze it or a 1.2.3 format that we grow with in regular school. That is not how the Kingdom of God teaching happens. It's a spontaneous thing where the Holy Spirit suddenly turns the light on for you. And it's also, you know, constantly being filled with him, because the very presence of the Lord, it's like it just inoculates you against what's not of him, and it just softens up your heart, and it makes you just so, like, ready to soak in anything that he wants to say. So he keeps us soaked in, soaked up, and then he pours in his revelation, and pretty soon you're like, wow, you're right, Holy Spirit. This has all got to change, you know. Whereas if there wasn't that infilling constantly, you would probably have a big fight about some of the changes he wants to bring, because there's radical change that needs to come.
Mm. Yeah, it's time to receive
you, but,
all.
I mean, it's part and parcel of the relationship with him.
Yeah, it sure is. It's time that we receive all that the Holy Spirit is and has to give, isn't it?
You know, Fran, the thing is, I got to a point where I said to him, Holy Spirit, you know, you are my teacher, so you can change anything I believe. And never will be, you see, because if we're looking to what we believe, we can hold on to it very tightly. But if we're looking to the author and finisher of our life, the real God who wrote the word, because all scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so if we're looking to him, then, and we're just letting him be the Lord, he can teach us and change our minds about things. We're pliable, and we can go, oh, Holy Spirit, I never thought that way. Thank you. Now receive it. And that's how we grow.
It is. What is his purpose?
The purpose of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He is to actually prepare us and make us into the fullness of Christ, really, to produce the full image of Jesus Christ here in the earth. You know, it's not when we die that we become perfect. It was because Jesus died that we became perfected. It is the Holy Spirit's function then to reveal to us the perfection that we have become through Jesus Christ. It's like when you receive and are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like an onion that the Holy Spirit, you know, when you peel an onion, you take a layer off and a layer off and a layer off. It's like the Holy Spirit begins to open up and reveal to us who we are in him, the fullness of what Jesus has done, the fact that we are actually spirit beings who have a body and a soul. But our primary reality, because God is spirit and we were made in his image, is that we are spirit beings. And that's why the Bible says God's spirit joins himself, that's the Holy Spirit, joins himself to our spirit. And our spirit becomes alive again. And then the Holy Spirit begins to open up to us the reality of our true nature, the fullness of what Jesus has accomplished for us, takes us into the realms of the glory. We begin to see in the realms of the glory, begin to hear the voice, we begin to taste, all our senses in the spirit realm begin to open up. We begin to see visions and have dreams, and we begin to experience the power, his power flowing through us. And so the Holy Spirit's function is actually to mature us into the bride without spot or wrinkle, and to produce a glory in the earth, to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea.
Yay, Lord. Honey, are you
Yay,
on the
floor Lord.
Yet?
Huh?
I said, are you on the floor yet?
I'm just soaking it all in. It's so rich. It's so wonderful. Anytime you honor the Holy Spirit and just talk about him, about all that he's doing in our lives, and you know, I just love God because he knew that we couldn't do it on our own. When Jesus left the disciples, they were so downcast, and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, as long as he was with us, we could run through a troop and leap over a wall. But now that he's gone, what are we going to do? And God, in his foreknowledge, knew that we were weak in ourselves. He said, but wait, God, I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send one who'll be in you and with you. And after that, they became bold as a lion. You know, I mean, they were like, let's go, let's take the world. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings whatever you need at that moment. You know, he says he brings all things to remembrance. And he's just, you know, you just love talking about him. And a lot of people are like, well, I never knew that he was a person, like, you could talk to him. I always thought he was, you know, just, they kind of, you know, a lot of people just, they kind of talk about Jesus and talk about the Father. But Holy Spirit, I don't totally understand that. A lot of churches, you don't even hear about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And this is true, Alan, because the thing is that why the church is in the state that it's in and needing to be changed is really because it is the Holy Spirit who was sent to birth the church and sent to lead the church and govern the church and direct the church and fill the church and equip the church. and you know, and reveal Jesus to the nations. And so when the believers understand the place of God the Holy Spirit and begin to live in that reality with the God the Holy Spirit, even pastors and so on, begin to, anyone in fivefold ministry gift begins to walk in that place with the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus demonstrated that. He walked with the Holy Spirit, and he listened, and he said only what the Holy Spirit told him, and he looked and he saw and he did only what the Holy Spirit showed him. And this is the same for us. And so as we begin to walk in that place with the Holy Spirit, things are going to change radically in the way that we relate with one another and what church really is. Because in fact, we are the church. We're a living organism. And we begin to relate with one another in coming to the person of God, not to a ritual or a program or a pattern, but the person of God. Mm. We will begin to see the dynamic transformation of the church. He hasn't been in his proper place and his proper honor, but it is the will of God for him to be in his proper place and his proper honor. So...
yes, it is. You know, you talk about the new wave of his glory falling upon the body of Christ.
Yes.
Are you starting to see that where people are coming into a fullness of maturity, knowing that we've got to turn around and we've got to invite the Holy Spirit in this place? It cannot be church as usual.
No, you're absolutely right, friend. I mean, you know, like I said, it was out of court, very much so. And the truth is that the whole purpose of the gospel was to bring us into intimate relationship with our Father, an intimate relationship with our bridegroom, and an intimate relationship with our teacher, the Holy Spirit. And it's through that intimacy with the Holy Spirit, that's how Jesus and the Father set it up. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will teach you, and he will open up the truth to you about me. I found out when I actually opened up my heart to the Holy Spirit that I just began to have a dynamic relationship with Jesus, you know. And, you know, the most wonderful thing about having the relationship with the Holy Spirit is that he will keep you from religion. He will free you from it. He will free you from false doctrines. He will keep you from all the pitfalls when your heart is set in the right place and you've allowed the good news, where you've allowed your Father, you've allowed God to be God to you as he's chosen. Your Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, each one in their right place. It's wonderful. We went into a church one time and we were ministering. We hadn't known the people for long. I think we met them the night before, and we were ministering the Sunday morning and the Sunday evening. And in the morning, the pastor was the worship team was really struggling. Nothing seemed to be flowing, and the pastor's wife was up front with the worship team, and I asked the pastor if I could just go and stand with her, and he said sure, and I went and stood with her, and I just began to answer and just close my eyes, just worship and praise and just worship and just to support her. And as I was doing that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, there's division in this church. There's a antagonism towards the pastors and so on and so forth. And after they finished singing, I was able to bring that word. And my husband said, you know what we're going to do is we're just going to have a time and just take up a special love offering for the pastor and his wife. And, you know, if you feel that this couple is ministering to you in the fivefold gift ministry as pastors, come and show them the love and appreciation. And people came up and they hugged the pastors and gave offering and whatever. And at the end of that time, some of the people from the fellowship came up and said, you know, that was so spot on. There was a lot of division and there was a lot of antagonism going on. And it broke. And that night, we had a Holy Ghost party. I mean, it was wonderful. People were drunk in the Spirit. They were laying out on the floor. I mean, it was wonderful. And after that, the whole church came together in agreement. They moved into a bigger facility. They actually had an increase financially and so on. But the point I'm making out of all of this was, what if I wasn't allowed to bring that word? What if it was just a pattern we get to follow, because once you've sung in your praise and your worship songs, then you go into a time of you know, taking up an offering and giving out the whatever the week's news is and so on, and then there's going to be a preaching and so on. It would have been a pattern, but you see, the Holy Spirit had an agenda, and his agenda was to sort stuff out. And that's the way it is when we yield to the Holy Spirit. He has an agenda, and he will sort stuff out. And that if we want to play our pattern, you know, no more.
Yeah, no more, no more.
Michelle, you said an important word. You said yield, yielding to the Holy Spirit. A lot of people don't. They're like, well, you know, I don't understand. You know, that's surrendering. That's allowing him. He is the person in charge. We're not.
Yeah. You know, it's welcoming him. It's no. You know how you can say, because you can say, I love you, Holy Spirit, and I receive you in your function, God. And I receive you to be the teacher and to be the leader and to have your way and do whatever you please. I used to say, stick me to the ceiling, stick me to the floor, do whatever you want to do with me. I don't care. You know, I'll be a sign if you want to, and I have been. And it's my pleasure. I really don't care what people think about me. I just care what he wants to do. And so, because it's so exciting when he has his way. I mean, that's where the life is. Anyway, so like, you know, that's what it means to yield. It means to open up. It's like being 100% open to him, just opening up your heart to him and saying, whatever you want to do in my life, whatever, however, I'm not going to try, you know, I'm not going to quench you in any way. And part of that is coming to a place where you really don't care what people think. You have to break free from that mentality. It's got to mean more to you to honor the Holy Spirit than it does what anybody might think of you, because if you find yourself rolling around on the floor, I'm telling you, it will be glorious. But people might think you crazy, you know. But these are the days of so many things the Holy Spirit wants to do. So yielding to him is absolutely crucial.
Absolutely. You talk about there's so many things that the Holy Spirit wants to do. Tell us a little bit about what are some of the things that he wants to do that you can see.
You know, it's purification time, and that's why I said one of the things is that he wants us to be, he wants to just fill us with the power of his might and strengthen us with his joy. He wants to lift off every burden. He wants to take every fear out of everybody. He wants to show us the glory of the cross, the power of the blood. He wants to show us just what he has, what Jesus has accomplished for us, the fullness of who we are. And he wants to show us the things of heaven. He wants to show us that we're spirit. He wants to take us into a place where we become familiar with experiencing heaven, even while we're on earth, you know, in experiencing what it looks like and experiencing and beginning to experience things like translations and transportations in the spirit and the dynamics of living in the spirit. He's going to transform the church because we are spirit. So we're going to come out of this mixture of being, you know, part, you know, giving the Holy Spirit some room, into a place where we're completely in agreement with him. And he will show us the most magnificent things. And I believe that things are going to happen in these days. Some of the things that have happened in the past that I haven't seen in you know, past, recent revival moves of the Spirit of God are things like happened with Maria Woodworth Etta. People who were not born again, didn't know the Lord, would find themselves falling out in the power of the Spirit in their offices at work, unable to get up off the floor. People who did not know God would come into meetings and ready to break it up, or very skeptical, and find themselves in a vision of heaven and a vision of hell. And the next thing, they are preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. And I believe that we're about to, you know, we're about to see the increase of the greater glory in the earth, where these kinds of signs and wonders will happen by the Holy Spirit. We just get to invite Him to do whatever He pleases. And so He longs to actually and desires to do great works with even unsaved people, you know, and bring them into places, like I said, where they will get touched by the power of God, even in their workplaces or in a school. I mean, there's no limit to the glory that God wants to pour out in the earth. And so these are the most exciting times, because in as much as the Holy Spirit is showing us that He is in us and that Jesus and the Father are in us, that the kingdom of God is in us, and we're getting to know, oh God, You're right inside me. In the same way as God is in us, we are also in Him. And so... Hello?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Sorry. And as much as the glory may flow out of us, at the same time, the Holy Spirit can do whatever He chooses anywhere around in the earth. And as we begin to have this expectation for the greater glory, I believe we're going to see these kinds of signs and wonders happening all around in the earth in these days. People are going to have, neighbors are going to have encounters with God. They'll have a dream, or they'll have just a vision, and they'll come to us. We'll be connected with them. And so... it's going to happen both ways, I believe, in these days, that there's going to be such a release of the glory of God through the body of Christ, as well as to unsaved people directly from the Holy Spirit. I also believe that there's going to be such, and it's already happening, such an increase of revelation. It's like the thick, dark clouds of revelation. The Holy Spirit's giving us heavy revies, if I can put it that way. It's like lights are going to come on all over, and things are going to be exposed that have to be exposed. Things that have wounded the body of Christ, injustices, they are going to be dealt with in these days. There's going to be such a change to a point where we're going to relate with one another as brothers and sisters. There's no hierarchy in the body of Christ. You may be a fivefold ministry gift, but you're not superior. And so there's going to be no hierarchy in the body of Christ whatsoever. There's going to be no more one-man show things going on. We're a body. There's going to be a revelation of Christ in each person and an ability of fivefold ministry gifts to help the Christ in each person come into fulfillment. You know, people are going to run quickly in the glory. There's not going to be I believe even the local fellowships are going to spring up and explode. They're not going to be stagnant, and it's going to change.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Wow.
Hallelujah.
Wow. I want to say something, you know, about these disasters that have been happening. I just want to declare it. You know, our Father and Jesus did not send disasters to draw people to them. They sent the Holy Spirit to do that.
Man.
That's good. That's good. You know, talking about the Holy Spirit here, we hear this all the time. Gosh, I've received Jesus as my Savior. Didn't I receive the Holy Spirit too? You know, and they're not understanding the power. Could you share a little bit about that for the listeners?
You know, the
tonight?
Bible says that God Himself joins Him, that God's Spirit joins Himself to our spirit when we receive what Jesus did for us. It's like what happens is that Jesus takes away the old person, which is the carnal person, which is the corruption that was in our lives, the sins passed down from generations and our own sins and the guilt and the shame, and He wipes that out on the cross. And then He sends the Spirit of God, His very Holy Spirit, into us. And the Holy Spirit joins Himself to our spirit, which was dormant while we didn't know Jesus. Our spirit was dormant. It was like, if you could put it this way, the junk load of a dump load of sand and stones suffocated our spirit. The sand and stones was all the carnal nonsense and stuff that we've been taught over the years, and the sins and all of that. That was hindering our relationship even towards God. When Jesus wiped that out on the cross, the Holy Spirit comes to join to our spirit, and suddenly our spirit comes alive. But then we get to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and this changes everything because he's so dynamic. So we begin to feel his presence. We get to get full of the joy of, because he is so happy, and his nature begins to take over our soul. Our soul was never meant to be depressed and full of fear. Our soul was always meant to experience God's nature, which is full of joy. So then the Holy Spirit begins to fill us with joy. As we open up to the Holy Spirit, he begins to fill us with joy. He begins to touch us and strengthen us with joy and fill us with many manifestations or demonstrations of his power in us. And he begins to, as I said, open up to us the truth, and like switching on a light, and the next thing you get the next thing. He becomes your teacher. That's all you need to do, is just invite the Holy Spirit to his right place. And I tell you, all the power, all the joy, all the encounter, all the understanding will start to flood your life. And you'll start to grow as a spirit being. You'll start to grow in the image of God. That's what it's all about.
That's life.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I just think that, you know, so many times when someone receives Jesus as their Lord and Savior and they say, okay, all right, now I have the Holy Spirit too, but then they seem to focus all on the Holy Spirit, but leave, or focus rather on Jesus only, and just throwing the Holy Spirit aside, not realizing the importance of who he is, his purpose, his character, and to have that intimate relationship. I mean, that, and your book goes through that so well, Loose My Bride and Let Her Go. And again, I want to urge everyone listening and to go on to the website hisfreedomministries.com, and you'll be able to purchase your book there. And please, not only get one for yourself, get one for your family members too, your pastor. If you're not in a church that's Holy Ghost filled, get them this book. It would be awesome. Praise God. Oh, gosh. Oh, wow. I just love the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and you know, I love the baptism of fire, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would, the baptism of fire would come and really touch everybody who's never really been filled with the Holy Spirit in the sense of they've experienced his joy or opened up to him and really known him personally. I just thank God for I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your touch in everybody's life. Let the fire of your presence and the encounter of your joy come and touch and fill everyone, Lord. And we just thank you for increase of your fire and your joy. Everything you want to do, Holy Spirit, in these days. I am so excited. You know, the life is in the Holy Spirit, who shows us the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the power of Jesus, who literally reveals the Bible. You actually, without the Holy Spirit, you will get into religion.
Yeah.
You know, without having the Holy Spirit in his place, you will get into a pattern or a format or religion. And you will be lacking in the power of God. Displayed
right
in your life.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Powerless Christianity. I mean, no wonder people get bored and they go somewhere and they're like, gosh, there's no, you know. And, you know, where you go from a prune face to full of joy, you know, I just, When I think about the Holy Spirit, you know, I remember when the first time I got drunk in the Holy Ghost. And if you don't know what that is, you need to experience that. But I was going through one of the hardest times of my life where, you know, you're fighting. I was going through a time when I was actually, like, fighting against depression. I wasn't depressed, but I was fighting against it. And the Holy Spirit came in and just touched my life to where I was so drunk they almost had to carry me out. Like, you know what's so nice about that? Is you don't even wake up with a hangover, you know. You wake up with the Holy Ghost refreshed and filled to overflowing. You know, you were talking about being filled. You know, the word actually, when we study it out, means being continually filled. Always, your cup runneth over. You never get dry. You were talking about being dry before. And I remember when I got saved, I was like, gosh, there's got to be more than what I'm experiencing here. I love Jesus, but I know, and there's a lot of listeners out there, you say, I know that there's more too. How can I tap into it? Well, Michelle, she's told you and she's telling you and read her book, and because God has so much more for you out there. If you're listening or, you know, you need that touch, reach out. He's that close.
Oh, yeah.
And take a drink, because I tell you, there's nothing like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So true.
Yeah. Pass the bottle, honey.
Yeah. Have a drink.
Pass the cake.
You know, Jesus didn't say, come to me and think. He said, come to me and drink. And so we get to learn about the fact that we get to drink, you know. You know, you get to be like a little child. You got to take off your great intellectualism, because the kingdom of God is not about a philosophy or an intellectualism. It's about drinking and eating. It's about being like a little child and saying, okay, God, show me. And you take a drink of the Holy Ghost wine just by faith in the next minute. You know, I must say too that the first time I was ever, you know, I was sitting in a church one day. I hadn't actually been filled with the joy. I was just sitting in a church and I wasn't actually asking for it. But the Holy Spirit just filled me with his joy. But I was open to the Holy Spirit. See, that's the thing, is that when you get to know that, oh, Holy Spirit, you are God. You are here to teach me. I'm supposed to have this relationship with you. You will make me drunk. Good. I don't know how to do this.
You
will make me happy. Good.
You know, it's so funny, because when we were, well, I can't speak for other people, but when I was in the world, man, I had a problem taking a drink or saying this or that. You know, we come to church and a lot of people are like, well, we got to be sober and we got to be. No, I want to be inebriated in the spirit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take
if I offend you, if I offend you, get over it.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's great, you know, when you can barely walk and when you just fall back on the floor. I mean, people hearing us tonight, I mean, you're like, you've got to be kidding, really? But it is, I mean, because he's just filling you up and overflowing and you're bubbling up with like this joy and you just can't stop. And it's so addictive. You want more and more.
Yeah. Oh. And, you know, I just know that it's just like when you just open up to the Holy Spirit, there's many ways in which he will minister to us. And sometimes people start to cry before they face.
They'll start to cry. Oops. You know what? We just lost her, but that's okay, because, honey, you go ahead and chat about like some of the things that we've experienced together. And I mean, even with like Mahesh and Bonnie, you know, I mean, oh my gosh,
about them.
Chris Harvey,
you know,
there.
A lot of times, if you feel uncomfortable with what we're saying, it's because you need a touch of the Holy Spirit. And all you have to do is reach out, open up, say, you know, some of you are saying, gee, I don't know about this. You know, take a chance. He'll never let you down. I know it was the greatest thing that ever happened in my life when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can't go, you know, there's power, there's love, there's joy, there's goodness, there's everything the Holy Spirit has for you is good. When I got touched by the Holy Spirit, I said, man, I have been missing out for so long. And I know when
so
I got
true,
touched,
honey.
There's power there. There's power to overcome. You know, a lot of times, I said, you know, Paul talks about these sins that so easily beset us. Maybe you're out there and you're dealing with something you just can't overcome. The Holy Spirit is the overcomer. If you have him in your life, you are an overcomer. The same Spirit
that
raised Christ.
Can you reach Bob and Michelle Hart? Please leave us a message and we'll call you back.
Sorry about that. She's trying to call back in while I'm calling her. Go ahead, honey.
The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within you. That same Spirit that raised Jesus, that same Spirit that filled Jesus, you have it in you. And you know, the wonderful thing is the Holy Spirit is not restricted by time or distance or, I mean, he's in so many people at the same time. That's why he said, even greater things will you do when I go to the Father, Jesus talking about himself, because I'll send the Holy Spirit. Now they have all these people running around on the earth who are filled with the same Spirit, and we're multiplying everything that Jesus did. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we're Jesus. I'm saying we have the same Spirit that he had. That raised Christ from the dead. Because some people they make a doctrine out of, you say one thing and you're saying, well, you said you were Jesus. I didn't say I was Jesus. There's only one Son of God. Okay, he's at the right hand. But he sent his Spirit. And that same Spirit dwells in us. And now we're going around, we're doing the works of Jesus. We're seeing the blind eyes open. We're seeing the deaf hear. We're seeing people raised from the dead. We're being, like she said, transported in the Spirit. And transported in the Spirit. Yes. Look, read the Bible. Philip, the evangelist, was transferred. Just, you know, the wonderful thing about it is legalism will kill you. Legalism is do's and don'ts of the Bible. But if you read the Bible and take it for face value, what it says, you can have everything that the Bible says you can have. And the most wonderful thing is the Holy Spirit will help you.
That's so true, honey. And, you know, I mean, we're almost at the end of the show here, and Michelle's line is cut off here. I can't get a hold of her. But, honey, would you pray with those out there that haven't received the Holy Spirit to receive the Holy Spirit? And, again, I urge those that are listening to head on over to Michelle and Robert Hart's ministry website, which is hisfreedomministries.com. You've got to pick up the book, Loose My Bride and Let Her Go. And you can get that on her site or even on Amazon as well. Bless their ministry. They are such a blessing and an asset to the kingdom of God, that's for sure. But, honey, would you pray for those tonight that are, you know, just hungry for more?
Yes. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We pray for each and every person out there that's hungry for more, God. Like I was hungry so many years ago, Lord. I knew that there was more, and I wanted that more. I wanted that joy. I would read about it in the Bible, but yet so much of what was in the Bible, I was not personally experiencing it. I could read the Bible and understand certain things, but when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was like a light got turned on, and he just made the Bibles come so alive. So I pray, Father, right now for those listeners who haven't experienced that yet, Lord, that they would just open their spirits up to you, Father, just as Michelle began to sing out in the Spirit, and God, just in faith, God gave her this new tongue, and he gives us this new tongue, and he gives us this new experience of being filled with his precious Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would touch the listeners tonight, that you would come and infill them. You infill them as they ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Father, give them dreams and visions and joy unspeakable and full of glory. Holy Spirit, just go and touch the people today. If you're out there, just ask to receive Holy Spirit right now. Say, Holy Spirit, I want you. I need you. Come into my life. Fill me with your fullness. Baptize me in your love. Take control. I yield to you, Holy Spirit, in faith. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, if you're out there and you're hearing this, begin to use your heavenly language. The Bible is very clear that we are given, just like in Germany, if you speak German, they understand you. And in America, we speak English, mostly English. there's some Spanish out there. Thank you, Lord, for our Spanish brothers and sisters. But, you know, He gives you another language. The Holy Spirit has His own language. God has His own language. So just out of the depths of your, the Bible says, out of your living waters will flow out of you, out of your belly. That's where we kind of symbolize, that's where the Holy Spirit is. So put your hand on your stomach right now, your stomach area, and just begin to speak out in faith. Now, you receive Jesus in faith. Now, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in faith. Begin to speak out. Begin to speak out as the Holy Spirit gives you, He says He gives you utterance. Begin to speak out in faith. Begin to speak out. And if you don't know how anything else to say, just begin to say Jesus over and over again. Just begin to do it until you feel a wave come out of you. Like rivers of living water, you'll just begin to speak in your heavenly language. And Father, I thank you, and I seal this day. You came to seal the day of redemption with your Holy Spirit. We know that we're sealed by the promise of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I thank you for each and every listener out there that's receiving right now. Father, we give you the praise and all the honor and all the glory. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the many testimonies coming out of the program tonight. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You know, honey, everyone is hungry for intimacy with God. I mean, if they know it or not, you know, so many have that void within them. And that void is that they need that connection with God, with the Holy Spirit. You know, and it's not religion. It's definitely not religion, but it's intimacy with the Father. And, you know, and it only comes from God. It only comes from God. So for those that maybe have said, gosh, you know, I've never even received the Lord as my Savior. You know, all you have to do is to admit to Him that you've made mistakes. Say, gosh, Lord, you know, I am so sorry. I've made financial mistakes. I've made this type of moral mistake. Every mistake you made, tell God that you're sorry for it. And believe. See, there's that faith again. Believe that the blood of Jesus, the Messiah, is enough just to wash them away. It's that easy. You know, so many times, like we were talking about formulas and so forth. No, it's talking to Him like you would talk to anybody, but in reverence of the Father and who He is, because He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then I want you to believe that the Creator of the universe wants to take residence inside of you. Jesus in you, the hope of glory, praise God. And don't ever lose sight of that. God lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. He is your comforter, your strength, your teacher. He is your everything. Make the Lord God, Jesus Christ, your Messiah, the Lord of your life, and you will feel such a freedom and a joy that you've never had before. It is just, it's everything. I mean, Jesus is our everything, isn't He, honey?
Amen. He is our everything. And I want to encourage the listeners again to go to Michelle's website. And she's got teaching, all kinds of teaching on there. And, oh, they're such a blessing. I'm just so thankful for the body of Christ and what they bring to the body of Christ. And let them know how much you appreciate their ministry and everything they're doing. I know that I believe, honey, that they're available to come and speak to different groups and different people, churches, whatever.
Oh,
so,
sure.
Go to the website, get a hold of them, and send them an email. Let them know how much you appreciate the program tonight and all that they're doing for the kingdom, and send us one too. And if you want to call Michelle and her husband, and I have, there's a number if they need to pray for you or send, you know, just, I know that they have a line that's open there, and we have an open line too. And if you need us to pray with you personally, please give us a call. Send us an email, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can, because we do this program for you. We love you. We appreciate our listeners. We love you very much, and you are very important to us, and you're very, most of all, you're important to God. And we just want to let you know that we're here for you.
Amen. Amen. Our number is 866-395-3340, or you can always drop us an email at contactus@popm.org. Again, go to Michelle and Robert's ministry site, hisfreedomministries.com. Drop them an email if you have a prayer request or just want to encourage them. And intercessors, major intercessors from the throne room, pray for their ministry. You know, a lot of the ministers out there, believe it or not, you know, they really don't have the covering that they need. So if you feel it in your heart, please intercede on their behalf. Praise God for that. And I want
to
thank all the listeners.
Honey, go over that contact information one more time slowly so that people, if they're writing, they can get it.
Sure. Okay, yeah, I do kind of rattle on, don't I, sometimes. All righty, the prayer line number is 866-395-3340, and our email is contactus@popm.org, and popm is popm.org. So contact us there. And for our listeners, again, thank you so much for tuning up with us tonight on Upfront in the Prophetic. We so love and appreciate you. And if you have other guests that you would like for us to have on the show, please have them send our research department. You can find that on the website, their information, and we'll have our research department look over everything and we'll contact them. As well as if you want to contact us for just prayer again, please do that. We are here for you. Listen to our other archives, too, from past shows. I'm sure that you will be blessed. And, again, we want to thank everyone for joining us tonight with Michelle Hart, and we want to thank her, too. Thank you so much, Michelle. We appreciate you, and we love you and your family. God bless everyone, and we're going to leave with He's a Mighty, Mighty Warrior. Blessings, everyone.
This is God's word to you of His perspective. It's the war drums of heaven over you.
You're an army dressed for battle. You're an army dressed for battle. We protect the battle.